We rip into the conversation starter thanks to Kia and the Kia Sorento, the drive car of the year. The Western Bulldogs, we might start with them because Brian's texting from Dramana. Kingy, you've been into the Dogs for a month now. What you say after yesterday's performance, and the Dogs now rated number one defence for one-on-one since round eight, number one defence in comp for points against, and two biggest forward lines in the comp have been well beaten by the Doggies. Brian's up and about down there on the peninsula.
Yeah, and rightly so. Look, we've been questioning the drop-off in clearance and contested possession numbers, given that the midfield is the Dogs' strength. You need to dominate that area to do all the things you just mentioned, to be able to give your back six a chance to make sure that it's ugly going forward or going forward very rarely for the opposition. So spot on, said last night on first crack, you know, they had plus 30 contested possessions against the Eagles and plus 15 clearances. Yeah, that's against Nick Nat and crew. So it's an amazing stat, but the stat's just the number. The way they did it was brutal, was pure, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The handball game looked fantastic.
Gee, they hunted them. I know there was no one at Optus Stadium after one COVID case in Perth, but they hunted them to all corners of that ground. Does the Bont play a bad game? Another three, another stack of possession, a mortgage on the Brownlow effectively at the moment.
I'll tell you what, what about his right-hand man, McRae?
Yeah.
He still gets votes yesterday.
To think that Dunkley, Treloar need to come back into that side as well. They got another injury yesterday as well. Was it Ryan Gardner's done his
That looked bad,
maybe an AC or a collarbone or something, so that hurts. But Aaron Norton, 9 marks, 5 contested, 4 goals. Some doubt on him going into the game, but he was magnificent. The inside 50s were 60-38. They just outworked them.
Just to talk about the Dogs, I don't know what happens this year. No one knows what's going to happen this year. We've got 4 or 5 really good sides. So it's a bit of a raffle, and we don't know how the year's going to finish off with the potential for, you know, footy frenzy and those sorts of things. But the Dogs going forward, so get to the end of this year and they pick up Sam Darcy, who kicked, I think, 6 goals in the...
Vic Metro, yep, their trial match against Vic Country on Sunday. So he kicked 6, and now people are saying he could be, by the end of the year, the number one selection.
Yeah, well, let's just say he's in the top 10. Doesn't matter what number he is.
Yep.
He's a bona fide AFL player. So they've already got last year's Christmas present they haven't unwrapped yet in Jamara Ugalhagen, and they've got Norton at 21 years of age.
Norton's a baby.
He looked like Wayne Carey yesterday. He took 9 marks, 5 contested, 6 inside.
How old's the Bont? 25.
Bont's 25. McRae and Hunter and 26.
Yep. You're talking dynasty.
Well, I think so. I mean, you look at the list build, they're going to have the ability now to get the steak knife type player. You know, Brian Lake's a steak knife, but they paid a second round pick for Brian Lake, the Hawks. It was the one piece they needed to finish off the rest. I think at the end of the year, the Dogs are going to be in that position.
Off the text, the temper text. Gee, that's a courageous win by the Blues over last year's Wooden Spooners. Shouldn't have even been in the contest at quarter time. They are the greatest downhill skiers I've seen. And this one, amazing what happens when players are played in their positions. You know, the positions they start in junior football. That alone gets Teague removed. Kennedy and Petrescu, Seaton say hi. Some harsh feedback off the text.
You can't be removing Teague after a win. What more do you need him to do?
So 34 points up at one stage, and did have to hang on in the last quarter, but that was probably more to inaccuracy this time, I felt, as it was any perceived lack of effort. I thought their intensity was good at the weekend, the Blues.
They had an 8-goal quarter. Yeah. It's been a long time since the Blues have had an 8-goal quarter.
And one of those goals was a very, very good one from their co-captain, Patrick Cripps, which is what Nathan in Craigieburn might want to raise as a curious subject. Nathan, I think I know where you're going with this. I'm not sure you can have many arguments. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
We're going well.
Good, Nathan.
I'm a Saints man, so very happy with what the Saints have produced over the weekend. With the Patrick Cripps, how many steps is a player allowed to take without bouncing a ball and kicking a goal? He nearly got to the bloody goal square.
Yeah. He ran a bit far, didn't he, Nathan?
I'll give you 30.
That. Yeah, he went too far. He has out of a habit of running too far, actually, Patty Cripps.
He went from the circle in the centre square to the top of 50.
Yeah.
That's 30 metres.
Yeah. So Nathan, he got away with one, Nathan.
He got away with one.
Yeah, but with the AFL standards, how many steps is it by the actual rule itself?
15 or thereabouts, Nathan. Yeah,
I never understand that. I don't.
It's a feel rule, isn't it?
I don't know why you have to bounce the ball. If we're trying to open the game up,
come again.
Why do you have to bounce the ball?
Just do away with needing to bounce.
Is it a feature of our game?
Well, it's a skill of our game.
Yeah, but is it a feature?
Well, no, I don't think you go to the game wanting to see players, you know, how good they bounce and whatnot.
So why do we need it? Look, so many goals have been robbed by someone taking one step too many.
Harry Mackay would like the bounce taken away after that one last week. The bounce back up in his face pretty much up at Giants Stadium. No, you've got to keep the bounce king.
Okay.
But I like your lateral thinking. Do away with the centre bounce and players needing to bounce.
Was anyone offended by Cripps kicking that goal yesterday? It was a big moment. It was a moment for the captain. I loved it.
I reckon if you broke for the Crows, you're probably offended.
Yeah, okay.
Weren't you?
Yeah, someone's always offended, I guess. Yep. That's why it's after seven.
Yeah.
Feel free.
Just with the Blues, while we're on the subject, Harry Mackay's kicking, clearly lacking some confidence. He tried to snap one from nearly 50 at one point.
What was that?
Mark Murphy, so he's done a calf chasing game 300. It's going to be touch and go now for Mark Murphy, whether they can somehow nurse him to the line.
So what do you do?
They're saying it's minor, but time's running out.
So we've got seven games.
We've got Sean Burgoyne's 400th this weekend, and the Hawks played him as a medical sub, so maybe that's the path forward, just to get him to the line.
Well, there's no guarantees now. I think you do the best you can to manage the situation and say, we'll give you every chance to get there, use him as the sub. They've dropped him. They've given him a bit of tough love. He's got to still play his part. But I think they would have got him there, all things being equal. But once you bring injury into it, I just think the number will be the number now. Mm. If we get you there, we get you there. But there's no guarantees anymore.
Spoke about the Western Bulldogs. This was Luke Beveridge. So after a week of quarantine, they smacked the Eagles by 55 points with a host of West Coast stars returning. It was a significant win for the Dogs. And this is how Luke Beveridge assessed it after the game.
I think probably the fact we didn't relent. We left some score out there in that first half. Kicked a lot of points, probably some gettable opportunities. And sometimes they can break your heart a little bit. We didn't let up. We kept at them. And I just thought that right across the board, everyone played critical roles in the performance, and as much as there were some standout performances, it was a very even contribution.
There you go. That was Luke Beveridge. What about that goal from the Bolt, Marcus Bontempelli, left foot snap, run into the boundary?
Freak goal. The old was it Jack Dyer that said the ball was going to get stuck between the posts? Who was the commentator that said that?
I think it was him. Wasn't
was it him? It's he's an amazing talent, isn't he? Now he's gone forward kicking goals. He's gone next level. I know that we've lauded Dustin Martin and how he's shaped games in small bursts in the past sort of 4 to 5 years, but Bont's at that level at the moment, isn't he?
The D's are a game clear on top of the ladder. They are 12-2. Essendon are coming. I mean, they huffed and puffed. It was a pretty enthralling game, I felt, on Saturday night, but just that lack of polish going forward was an issue for the Bombers all night. Thought they matched them in the contest. But, gee, they kicked the ball to Lever. They're not the first side to do this. Lever and May. And when they weren't kicking it to Lever and May, they thought they'd kick it to Gawn as well. So it was a nearly there game, though, wasn't it, Fallon Kingy?
I think it showed a little bit of maturity, a little bit of composure. The gap between the two teams is only 12 months.
Mm.
It really is. I mean, Jake Stringer, for as much damage as he does and for how good he is out of centre bounce or out of stoppage, he did blast the ball a lot on Saturday night. He could have lowered his eyes a couple of times or given a couple of handballs. And as we said on First Crack last night, there are 17 other teammates out there. You can use them on occasion. You don't have to be the sole reason to win.
Petraka was the class difference, wasn't he? The finishing there. I think he had 9 possessions, 2 goals in that pivotal third quarter. And the Bombers, while they've been great, I think they've only beaten one team above 12th this year on the ladder. So I wanted to ask you about Melbourne, though, because the story's about them going forward. Tell me this. Their two big recruits are in the VFL. Well, Ben Brown is one of them. Sam Wiedemann's not a recruit, but he's coming back from an injury and is seen to be their saviour going forward before Ben Brown arrived. Now, they're in the VFL. Brown kicked 5 in the twos yesterday. But will either of them be in the side come September, or do they stick to this mix right now that they started the season with?
Well, they took 14 marks inside 50 on the weekend, 9 different players. So, I mean, it's more about what you want. Do you want the predictability going forward that you're going to have a big target there? Personally, I like the lineup now. I think that they're better off going with a makeshift round the ground ruckman and using Gawn forward more if you need the big body. And it can be Jackson. They can alternate the two. They at times can have both down there. I think to have an Oliver or a Harms or one of those guys do a Marlon Pickett-style boundary throw in ruck work for patches of the game wouldn't hurt them.
Mm.
If it goes deep down back, you've got enough tools down there to take the ruck. So No, I think what we saw on Saturday night will be them going forward for a while.
Simon Goodwin, well, he was asked about Brown and Wiedemann and what they need to do to get themselves into the side as the season unfolds.
They just need to be in form. We're really open-minded to how our forward line structure works. I thought the forwards today, they had opportunities. There's no question about that. You know, we probably weren't as accurate as goals we would have liked, and but we still took 14 marks inside 50. So we'll continue to look at our forward half, how we get efficiency into our forward 50, but also pressure and intensity in that area of the ground. But for those two, it's really simple. Just get yourself in really good form, and there'll be a spot there for you. So that's the way we're looking at our team at the moment, and it's really healthy.
There you go. That is Simon Goodwin. And the Hawks, they played yesterday. It wasn't looking so good early.
So before you leave that,
yeah.
So later on, not just yet, when we settle sort of between 7:30 and 8, I want to know whose best was best on the weekend.
Mm.
What performance was the one that you said, yep, that I can see that? And often it doesn't always have to be a 15-goal win.
That's a good point.
Whose best was best on the weekend?
The two teams that leap off the page, that giving it significant thought, which it deserves because it's a landmark question, the Dogs and the Brisbane Lions for mine. I mean, the Dogs were super impressive over there after everything they had to endure.
Saints were good.
And the Brisbane Lions, Brisbane to do that to Geelong, their pressure was off the charts
they
going back.
They smashed them without the footy and with the footy.
Just the Cats won it all right at the source, didn't they? But it was just the pressure was incredible from the Lions. And then once they did get it back off them, their movement was amazing.
They couldn't fire a shot that the Brisbane weren't ready for. So I like the dare. Jordan Lewis did the game with us at Fox, and he was in raptures about how they moved the ball.
Yeah.
Geelong generally got a great gridlock-type defence that you've got to pierce to get through. They looked all sorts. And I don't know whether, you can't make anything of the venue because they played there, eight times last year. So there's no problems with the Gabba.
But no, they were just tougher. How's Devin Robertson? He was pushing Joel Selwood off the ball at stages there and helped restrict him to the Cat skipper to 13 touches as well. And he had 16 and two goal assists. So
the Zork
might be a Rising Star nomination coming soon as well.
Dane Zorko was good. Unreal. Daniel Rich. So all the guys that you think, should we tag Rich? No, we'll go head to head with him. Should we tag Zorko? Nah, we'll go head to head. But they got smashed. And then the one they did put some time into with Tom Stewart down back was head
to head
with Charlie Cameron.
That was a curious one, wasn't it?
Yeah, took him straight to full back, and because the ball was coming in at speed and hitting the deck, any ball on the deck inside forward 50 is just paradise for Charlie Cameron.
How's that mark he took, Charlie, when he elevated early, floated through the air, and just poleaxed a couple?
It was scary with that. I always worry when the knee comes up from those contested mates, that someone's going to wear it.
The way they went inside 50 against Geelong was key for me as well. They were low, they were darts, they kicked the grass if they have to. Against a back six that intercept, as you say, they're probably a bit top heavy there. The ground ball's going to get them at times. That's what I look at when Essendon play Melbourne. Just kick the ball to grass.
Yeah.
Just hack it in there.
It's a hard thing to do, isn't it, for 1 week? For your whole football life, you're trying to kick to the advantage side of your forward.
Mm.
Then you come up against one team and say, hey, guys, let's just kick it to grass. Yeah, well, hang on, I can't compute that. But I thought McCarthy was fantastic as well, just his pressure. And he's just class. Like, he gets the ball and you pay a price. They've got everything right over the last couple of years, Brisbane.
They needed that. I thought they needed it. Yeah, I thought they needed a big scalp, and they certainly got it and more. They played with some real physicality. And for the Cats, I'd just like to see them play Quinton Narkle, to be honest with you.
Really?
I just want to see them play Quinton Narkle. Maybe he's...
Why don't they play Clark and they don't play Constable, they don't play Narkle?
I think Sean Higgins actually needs to have that spell.
Oh, Sean. Big fumbles in the first quarter.
He was supposed to have it, obviously, last week, the week before, whatever, however you want to term it, and didn't. Had to play most of the game.
Are you saying a small break or a long break?
Oh, no, just a breather. Just a little breather.
A week off.
Yeah. See how he goes.
Just a managed type scenario.
Yeah.
Not a dropped.
No, managed. Mm. Yeah, managed.
I think it might be a dropped.
You think it might be an omission?
I think so.
What else should we talk about before we get to this break as well?
There's some individual stuff we need to get to, and I'm glad that our friend here on the Temper Text has recognised what Adam Saad did yesterday. They were in trouble, Carlton, early. The Crows were all over them on the scoreboard, and Saad took it upon himself to break and dash and went straight through the middle of
Marvel. And he bounced it.
He bounced it. not that there's any need to yesterday. You could have run as far as you like, as it turns out. he knocked it through from just outside 50, and it was a big moment. It was one of those ones you need from your senior core players, and we've been hard on Adam Saad, and rightly so.
Been hard on Zach Williams. He was pretty good too.
Put him a hand out, you wear what comes the other way. And I just thought for him to say, come on, guys, let's get going. It was an action of a leader, and it was a moment that they needed. So well done, Adam Saad, who's probably back listening to the radio again this week, I reckon. He might have given it a miss for a couple of weeks.
Williams was good, and I thought Paddy Dow actually showed a few signs as well. Now, before we get to the break, you're keeping an eye on the Travellers Championship over there in Connecticut. Mark Leishman is in the mix back in the clubhouse at 12 under while the action rages outside. What's the latest?
Our man Desi English.
Des?
Desi English is...
Harris English?
Harris is just, he's hit a birdie, unfortunately. So the leash is now in the clubhouse at 12 under, one shot behind English.
What about this man? What about Bubba?
I gotta find Bubba!
Where's Bubba?
They're trying to find Bubba. He just bogeyed, I think it's the 13th, it might be the 14th.
So he's 12 under, he's 12 under through 14. So it's your man, Harris, Des English.
We want a playoff. We want Desi English to bogey one coming in.
13 under and the leash, Kramer Hickok and Bubba Watson. All tied together at 12 under. And Belgium have full-time in that one at the Euros. Belgium have beaten Portugal 1-0. The goal scorer, Thorgan Hazard, there in Seville. But we're talking the round of footy, Kingy.
Hey, you know what's happened? Desi English has bogeyed.
Just bogeyed. We're back.
We're back in the potential playoff for our man, the leash.
Could be a four-way play.
Is he shouting his beers again if he wins this
one? That was the promise, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was going to go to every single golf club that stocked his...
You haven't bought a slab since. Waiting, hanging out.
I do like his brew. It's very easy.
It's because of the situation at home.
Very easy to drink. That's enough from you. This is the Kia Conversation Starter. All thanks to the Kia Sorento, the drive car of the year. Sam Edmund and David King, if I can stand him during the break. We'll be back after this. We're dissecting round 15. Give us your calls. Give us your texts. Take part in the show. 1-300-736-736 or 0433-98-1116. Coming up, Melbourne United coach Dean Vickerman and the Melbourne City manager Patrick Kisnorba.
Peter Jackson, half-yearly clearance sale. Merino wool suits from $359, up to 60% off store-wide. Kogan credit cards, no annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Yes, it is almost G&T, just having a fortnight off. Sam Edmund, David King with you today and for the next fortnight. I like this text from David. David, could it be Melbourne City, Melbourne United, Melbourne Storm and Melbourne FC? It's from D from Rosebud. I'm praying as a 63-year-old, long-suffering D's supporter. I like the synergy
very
there.
Very good. Well, Melbourne Storm are in the box seat, top of the table, and obviously the Melbourne Football Club, top of the table. So let's hope so. David, 63-year-old. That 63-year-old or 63-year-old suffering. So he could be probably 80 years of age. Fantastic. It is exciting for the Demons fans, isn't it? And I know we touched on a refraction before, but they didn't play their best on the weekend. And I think there's something about when you go at sort of 80 to 90% and still win.
Yep.
Yeah, they're a dangerous opponent, the Bombers. And I think most Demons fans would have left thinking, you know what, we've probably got a lot more to give than what we did tonight. They're getting answers on their forward line, all those sorts of things. Their stars were still really important at critical moments. But winning when you're playing poorly is undersold.
Gee, the Hawks were good yesterday, weren't they? 18-point victors against GWS at the MCG. Wasn't looking overly good early. That water bottle that Clarko slapped off the bench, they're still looking for that in the wall of the MCG somewhere. What is it with that wall and Clarko at the G? We were talking earlier about Tim O'Brien, perhaps mark of the year, but what about Dylan Moore? 4 goals in game 24 as well. And it was the next generation of Hawks that has been the subject of so much conjecture that would have had Hawthorn supporters leaving the G with so much optimism yesterday.
I'll tell you what they have. The choice of McAvoy as captain is just gets stamped every week, doesn't it? I love the way he plays and the way he leads. It's no nonsense. It's follow me. It's honest. He was fantastic in the forward 50. He's fantastic in the midfield. He just presents all day. But they had their youngsters, their young half back line. We saw the first game of DGB, Denver Granger Barras.
So he got a text. I didn't see this, but his day ended early with a head knock.
Yeah, he got concussed, which I can't remember seeing the incident. Maybe
someone's suggesting it was a tackle that needs to be looked at. I missed that as well. But what I didn't miss was the signs that he showed before it happened, and there was enough to see there, wasn't there?
Well, I saw a bit of vision. So Logan McDonald's the boom forward Sydney recruit. Pick four, I think he was, in the draft. It might have been pick three last season. And those two played on each other in a carnival game.
They did.
And DGB didn't play them in the first half. McDonald, I think, kicked four goals or five goals. And they flipped the matchups. And he smashed him in the second half. Mm. So that's going to be a not quite the Djokovic-Carey discussion, but they'll play on each other for 10 years, these two. It'll be fantastic to watch. But I love their half-back line. Giarth was fantastic again. Scrimshaw had a day out. Will Day was terrific.
Wasn't he? They got Sicily to put back into that.
Sicily to come back. He's probably going to have to go forward, isn't he? He can do both.
Will Day won't be there for long.
Frosty was great.
Will Day won't be at half-back for long.
He won't be?
No. Get him in there around the ball.
Need more from him?
No, I love what I'm seeing. That's the point. I think long term, he plays his best football off a wing around the ball, does he not?
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe. Look, I've got no idea. We just need to wait till we see it, I suppose. But they've got. I think they had seven guys yesterday under 25 games. Mm. So we talk a lot about kids and what you've got coming through, and I think Hawthorn fans would have thought going into that game, okay, if we can just stick with them and see how we go and have a nice honourable loss again and. Blah, blah, blah. Four goals down early. Yeah. And then they just went bang.
And the Giants went 47 minutes at one stage without kicking a goal. And John Newcomb, speaking of players who have played less than 25 games, he's played a handful. We know he's hard at the contest, tough over the ball, hard to move. Didn't know he could kick one from 55 to the city end. He loved it too, his first goal at the top level. Tom Mitchell, 40 possessions. He's struck a rich vein of form as well. And they've got the D's next week.
Lockie Whitfield, I know they got rolled, but Lockie Whitfield's work rate yesterday for 120 minutes is something. If you're wanting to become an AFL runner, an AFL player, an AFL talent, midfielder / wingman halfback, it was unreal what he did. It was tiring just watching him. Mm. You know, I know he had 30-plus disposals, and not all of them become scores because they struggled to get through, but gee, it wasn't through lack of trying from Lockie Whitfield. I've got no doubt that Leon Cameron will show the rest of that group today what he went through to try and get him the result.
We need to get to the news headlines. Off and running on the Kia Conversation Starter. Phil in Bayswater, sit tight. I know you want to talk about the Collingwood Ruckman Brody Grundy, which we'll get to right after these headlines. In fact, we'll open the lines up as well. Any footy topic or sport topic you like from the weekend, we can open up going forward. Dean Vickerman not too far away from Melbourne United as well. And we're keeping an eye on the golf kingy.
Desi English is bogeyed. So it's all square. So 12 under, we've got Leash in the clubhouse. English is going to have an opportunity coming down the 18th hole to potentially birdie.
And Hickok's still on the 16th. So.
And while Bill's still got a couple of holes to go, our man Bubba has...
I've got to find Bubba!
Yeah, you got to find him, all right. You got to find a stroke or two because he's bogeyed again.
Oh, no.
He's in trouble, Bubba.
We'll keep an eye on the scenes in Connecticut as the morning unfolds. We'll take a break. News headlines back with more after that. Morning, boys. I can't believe Buddy got off again. Such a surprise. I bet the AFL find someone else as a Carlton player to suspend for a similar incident. Oh, I wasn't surprised Buddy got off for that forceful front-on contact.
Yeah, see, this is...
Was
this
it Lean It? Lean It.
This is what annoys me, right?
When I say got... Sorry, just quickly before you go. When I say got off, he was sanctioned. He had a fine.
Sanctioned? Was he? How harshly was he sanctioned?
He was what sanctioned to the tune of $2,000.
Wow. That's amazing.
He shouldn't have been suspended for that, should he?
Well, this is the constant argument that I have with people like yourself, Sam, is that this is the second time he's done it this season.
Yes.
So we're just going to keep rolling on, are we?
Did either of them meet the force threshold to constitute a suspension?
How hard do you have to hit someone on the top of the neck?
Harder than that.
Okay, so we wait till someone's in a wheelchair before we make change.
Don't be hysterical.
I'm just being serious.
Didn't he go in to try to tackle him?
Did he? Do you think that he was ever going to tackle him from that angle?
I have to ask him.
Oh,
Well, players give away free kicks all the time for high, for low.
So clearly he's done something outside the code, yeah?
So the exact ruling was charged with forceful front on contact.
That's my point.
He can accept a $2,000 sanction with an early plea. Based on the available evidence, the incident was assessed as careless, low impact, high contact, and that's a sanction. $2,000 sanction with an early plea.
Yeah, and this is where I disagree with the MRO or the table, the matrix that they work off. It doesn't take a lot of force to cause significant trauma to the head or to the neck. We've got to. Yeah, I'm just getting frustrated with this. So we're fine. Forget that it's Lance Franklin. Okay, this is the second time in 4 weeks.
Yep.
So we're not changing behaviour.
First one was Nick Newman, of course, at the SCG. Phil is in Bayswater. By the way, do you agree with Kingy? 1-300-736-736.
I agree with Diesel. Diesel's texting. I love when Diesel texts in.
And he says?
Daniel Rich was amazing. The kicks he takes on out of halfback are elite. He's right. He set that game up for them.
Yeah, he was magnificent.
Good to hear from the great man.
Sorry to keep you waiting there, Phil. Welcome.
Good morning, Kingy. You had a bit of a giggle last week, mate, when I said Brody had to come through the Magoos. Now,
yes.
Like the only thing that was fresh with Brodes, and I love him, was his haircut, because we went Brody-centric, mate. So, Kingy, we've gone Brody-centric, as I said. We've lost our flair, mate. So the week before, we had a bit of razzle-dazzle, bit of dash, played through the middle. Jeez, that was a very tough watch, mate. We became centric, and he just... That advantage that he hits to is not really an advantage. So Cameron gives us a better look. Kingy, I still reckon he needed a couple of weekend Magoos, mate.
I reckon you overvalue hitouts. I reckon hitouts are the most overrated thing in AFL footy. Phil's not there. So Brody was important. 7 score involvements.
Yeah, he pushed forward on him. He pushed forward on him well.
I'd have a look. If I was Rob Harvey, I'd have a look at Brody Grundy playing as a deep forward target, 50-50 with Darcy Cameron.
We're going to see that match up a lot in the future, in the coming years, aren't we? Grundy v. Sean Darcy. Adrian's in. Rover, you want to talk about the D's there, Adrian?
Yeah, hey, boys. How are you? Bomber supporter, but having seen them firsthand, Lever and the big bloke back there, May, they are unbelievable, but I think the way to beat them is chaos ball inside 50, the old Richmond method from 2017. They are too dominant in the air, and I think Jack Riewoldt and Tom Lynch are almost going to have to play defensively and think spoil first and mark second, get the ball to ground and let the crummers do it, because, you know, they set up perfectly. May's 10 metres out, Lever's 35, 40 out, and they just mark everything that comes in. Now, we didn't think we weren't smart enough to bring low ball into the game on Saturday night, and they absolutely picked us apart. I think the only way to beat Melbourne is to take May and Lever's influence out of the game. They are dominant. They're ridiculous.
Yeah, good call, Adrian. And they're able to do that, though, King, aren't they? Because the way Melbourne set up for their entire 18 makes it possible, and the mindset they go in with. So the pressure is amazing. It's relentless. And that's why you see those dumb kicks down the line. And the way they set up, when you go to a game and you watch Melbourne, the way they set up behind the balls, it's almost a work of art, the way they do it.
Can you imagine Jacob Wittering or Liam Jones playing in that system? I mean, they were unbelievable as a pairing again on the weekend.
Jones was good yesterday.
They took 12 intercept marks between them and had 22 intercept possessions between them. It's a two-man defence.
And that's a one-on-one defence that they play.
They play a two-man defence. So your brother team plays an 18-man defence. But, yeah, look... You're right. You do have to do different things. We hear coaches talk all the time about the roles that key forwards play. They very rarely talk about marking the ball. They talk about ensuring that it's at minimum a ground level opportunity for the smalls. It's boring to hear, but your call of them was just absolutely spot on with, if you can't get it to ground against Melbourne, you'll defend all day. Because once they get it, they move it so well.
McCarron got it into Landau, only just... Top of the cake. Melbourne United have been on top of the table for all but 4 rounds. They've been the benchmark all season long, and they are the NBL 21 champions.
Oh, what great news that was on Friday night. What a journey Melbourne United were on in season 2021. It started with a COVID outbreak within the team in pre-season. It ended with 11 straight road games leading into Friday night's title clinching game, and they did that against the Perth Wildcats. They secured a sweep 3-0 to take their second championship, and their successful coach is Dean Vickerman. Welcome to SEM Breakfast, Dean.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, how does it feel to be champions again after everything that was thrown at you this year?
Yeah, it was fantastic to start with, but yeah, just an incredible year that we'll all look back on and have moments and thoughts of the different things that happened. But to you know, to have that huge road trip, a 30-day road trip, to kind of finish the season and then get one more game back at home to close it out was unbelievable.
What did it do to your squad those days together, Dean, that you otherwise wouldn't normally have had, of course?
Yeah, I know. You know, it was tough on everybody, but, you know, we had three players that just had young babies. So to me, that was the biggest challenge about, you know, how we supported their family, how they were doing. But, you know, from a coaching staff point of view, you know, it was fun, you know. My kids are a little bit older and, you know, we get to go out to dinner at night with, you know, what are our activities we're going to do. There's those kind of things, just hanging out with, really fun. The group, you know, you go and have breakfast every morning. You can have a quick meeting when you need to have a quick meeting. So the access to the playing group and how we went about our business was pretty cool.
Obviously, COVID means we just can't take anything for granted anymore, can we? Where we're going to be playing, what time we're going to be playing, and whether anyone can actually attend. So I imagine the news when it came through that 5,000 people, 50% capacity, can get into John Cain Arena to watch your bid to claim the title must have been huge. It must have been a magical night. I noticed the Gatorade shower came pretty quickly for you as well afterwards.
Really quickly. No, the news that we were coming home, and, you know, I think originally it was, could it be regional? Is it going to be 1,000 people? Is it going to be 2,500? Now it's at 5,000, you know, and it was like, wow, this is going to be a fun atmosphere. And I thought they were going to close off areas, but, you know, the whole place was open and people just kind of, you know, sat in different seats. But it had a great feel about it.
Dean, when did you know? When did you know this was a special group? At what stage of the year? Was there a moment? Was there a game where you thought, yep, this is the bunch, or this is the group that I think can take us to the promised land?
Yeah, we were feeling pretty good about the group when we got Scotty Hobson. You know, we thought he was one of the best closers in the league last year, and we loved the scoring punch. But then to have Jock Landale practicing with us, all throughout preseason, thinking he was going to go to the NBA or back to a major European club, and then to have that signature, you know, right before the start of the season, it was like, all right, we've got enough talent to win it right now. How do we make this work?
Now, I have to ask, because one of the great liniment sniffers is your owner, Craig Hutchison, who actually runs the premises in here as well. What was he like in the post-match? What was he like in the celebrations?
Well, you know, we had a really good chat on the court after the game, and, you know, he just congratulated me and just talked about, you know, that was the toughest coaching year you probably ever had, and he was already kind of reflecting on the year. But now he was stuck up in Sydney when we were stuck up in Sydney for a while there, so we got to catch up and got to go see the Swans and Carlton up there, so he took care of us a little bit. But no, he was fantastic.
What were the celebrations like in the aftermath, Dean? Were you there till stumps?
Yeah, definitely there till stumps, because we knew this was going to be the quickest celebration of all time.
Mm.
The next day, I had three player meetings. You know, we start free agency today. It was, you know, normally there's a 2-week period. We got a 2-day period to get ready for free agency. So it was, you know, have a great time Friday night, but it was really back to business on Saturday.
And just on the player movement side of things, Dean, and I know things move on really quickly, but obviously someone like Jock Landale, who we get a lot of texts about in here at the station, put his NBA aspirations on hold. He chased the championship with you guys. He was MVP in the series. He's been massive for the squad. Are you resigned to the likelihood that he will chase that NBA dream next? And what plans do the club have to replace him if you think it'll get to that?
Yeah, we certainly don't expect him to be with us next season. You know, we think he'll go and have an amazing Olympic campaign, and then he'll either be in the NBA in a situation that is good for him or a really major European club again. But again, we look down the track and say, hopefully in the future, we can see him back in our league at some stage. Replacement-wise, you know, it's difficult. You know, we obviously look at the local market to start with. Is there anyone that can fill his role? And obviously Joe Akul was amazing this year, and we want to see a lot more from him. And now that the league has gone to a three import model as well, we look at you know what we can do there.